I'm not going to talk very long because I'd rather us pray for people to be filled with the Spirit than to talk about it. So we're going to have an opportunity to pray with people to be filled with the Spirit. But I'm just going to open up my sermon homily today with our collect. I'm going to pray the collect again. Almighty God, on this day, through the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, you revealed the way of eternal life to every race and nation. Pour out this gift anew, that by the preaching of your gospel, your salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you, the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. How often do you think the disciples of Jesus were amazed or shocked or even stunned by something Jesus said or did? How often do you think that happened? Maybe every hour even? I mean, can you imagine the stunned look on the faces of the religious leaders when Jesus said, the prostitutes and the tax collectors are going to get into heaven before you? Can you imagine the tongues wagging when Jesus said to Zacchaeus, tax collector, like one of the worst sinners in the culture, said to this tax collector, I'm coming to eat at your house tonight. Can you imagine the tongues wagging? And what the shocked look, the eyes popping open, the eyebrows going up when Jesus knelt down, got a bucket of water, and started to wash the feet of his disciples. I think that was a pretty shocking thing for them to experience. But you know, I think one of the most shocking things that Jesus ever said, and I would even say, if I was a disciple at that time, difficult to believe, is when Jesus said this to his disciples. Talking about his departure, he said, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. For I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I go, I will send him to you. If you're in that room there that day and you hear that Jesus said, it's better that I leave you, what do you think your reaction might be? No way. No way. Can't be. What could be better than having Jesus right with us in person? But Jesus said it was to our advantage. I like the way the Amplified Bible amplifies it. However, I'm telling you nothing but the truth when I say it is profitable, good, expedient, advantageous for you that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Comforter, and the word in the Greek there can be translated in different ways, but Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper, the Advocate, the Intercessor, the Strengthener, the Standby, will not come to you into close fellowship with you, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. So, I think it would be hard for them to believe that this Helper was going to be better than having Jesus there with them in person. But how's the Holy Spirit different than Jesus in person? What does the Holy Spirit do? Well, we heard Pastor Jim give testimony. Pours out the love of God into our hearts. It's something inside of us that happens with the Holy Spirit. We begin to change from the inside out when we open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit. And so when do you think the disciples started praying for the Holy Spirit to come? I believe it's just after Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem until the power comes from on high, that you might be witnesses here and then to the ends of the earth. They probably didn't know what they were praying for, but they were just being obedient to what Jesus had said to them. Is it a good thing to obey Jesus, the last instruction he gave us, and kind of wait until the next time he gives us instructions, just to wait? And so they were waiting, and there's no indication in Scripture that they had any sense that it would be on Pentecost that the Holy Spirit would be poured out in their lives. So they're waiting and they're gathering for Pentecost. And then what happens? They're in a room and it says a violent wind came and then tongues of fire. Isn't that interesting? Tongues of fire came over each of them. Tongues on fire came over each of them. And all of a sudden they started to speak. These Galileans, these fishermen, these ordinary people began to speak in languages that they did not know to people out there. Why did God choose Pentecost to pour out the Holy Spirit? What was happening in Pentecost? Pentecost would be, because it's close to Passover, Jerusalem would be filled with Jews on pilgrimage to Jerusalem to celebrate these great feasts. So they estimate over 1 million people would have been there from every known nation there. And then these disciples were given this tongue of fire where they could speak a language and the people there could hear it in their own language so they could understand it in their own language. So, everything says to me the timing of Pentecost, the tongues of fire, the 3,000 people that came to believe in Jesus, and these folks that were touched that day, they would return to their nations with this message of Jesus. So it spread the gospel in an incredible way. All of those things coming together, the timing of Pentecost, people being saved, and Pentecost is a Jewish celebration. It predates Jesus. It's a Jewish celebration. What does it celebrate? Harvest. Was there a harvest that day? A harvest of 3,000 souls. So there was this wonderful harvest. All those things say to me that the main reason that the Holy Spirit is given to us that we might be witnesses. God was strategic. He chose Pentecost when the city was full of people so he could reach people with the gospel, so he could touch people's lives. And so here the Holy Spirit's been given to us to pour out the love of God in our hearts, but that we might be empowered to take the gospel to people around us. Now, sadly, some people have been taught that people never have a second experience in the Holy Spirit. And I had a second experience in the Holy Spirit. I know of millions of people that have had a second experience in the Holy Spirit. Not everybody has a second experience. Some people, it happens all together when they're converted and they get filled with the Spirit. But it's a second experience. And I think right here in the book of Acts, that's not the slide I was looking for. Okay, here it is. When the apostles at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent to them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For it had not yet fallen on any of them, but they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they laid their hands on them, they received the Holy Spirit. So these folks had been baptized in the name of Jesus. When you receive Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit. But it doesn't mean you're baptized in the Holy Spirit. Some people are, but for these folks, it was a second experience. For me, it was a second experience. And I think everybody should be open to it. And I know when I received the baptism of the Spirit, just things opened up for me in a brand new way. Just like Pastor Jim. You know, Pastor Jim has such a great knowledge of the Word of God. And just to hear how the Holy Spirit gave him a love for the Word of God. Maybe if you're struggling with reading the Word of God, maybe this is a chance for you to ask to be filled with the Spirit, because the Spirit's the one that inspired the writers. He'll give us insights to the Word of God. He'll give us love for the Word of God. And so it can be a second experience. It doesn't have to be. Some people say that all the gifts of the Spirit died when the apostles died. Can you imagine being in church one Sunday There's healings, there's prophecy, words of knowledge, people's lives are being changed. And then the last apostle dies, and then no more healings, no more prophecies. So we really believe that the gifts of the Spirit continue. Amen. And yet, I have brothers and sisters in the Lord that have a different opinion about that. I love them. The gospel is more important, keeping Jesus central. But here is a command that Paul gives us. Do not get drunk with wine, for this is debauchery. But what's it say? Be filled with the Spirit. And that the Greek in there means not just once, but to be filled and filled again, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. And so we are commanded not to be filled just once, but to be filled again and again. And so that's what we're going to do today. Now, one of the things I like about our church, we have some diversity here. You think people can receive the Holy Spirit in different ways? Wouldn't that make sense? God looks at our personalities, our context. People can receive the Holy Spirit in different ways. But the important thing is to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be willing to receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we have these balloons up, right? Did you notice this one balloon over here? All these balloons are fulfilling their potential, aren't they? It's like this. This is their potential, up trying to get up to heaven. And sometimes when people are getting the balloons, they let go of them. And we have them up in the ceiling of the sanctuary for a while until they come down. Anybody feel like this sometimes? You need to be refilled. To be refilled, that you could reach your potential to be what God's created you to be. So we have to be open to be filled again. We need the Holy Spirit. Again, what Pastor Jim did, using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Okay, why pray to receive the Holy Spirit? We're going to have people come up and to receive the Holy Spirit. Why? And I could have 100 slides answering this question, but the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. Some people are afraid of the Holy Spirit. They're afraid something's going to happen to them, and then they're going to be going through the grocery store, and all of a sudden they're going to do something strange. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You know the most important goal that God has for you and I? To become like Jesus. How can we do that without the Spirit of Jesus inside of us? I mean, you know how I sing? Not very well. Told me you had to become this great singer. I couldn't do it. But if somehow the Spirit of the great singer could come inside me, then I could sing. And so this is the Spirit of Christ. The Holy Spirit pours out the love of God in our hearts. Pastor Jim gave a wonderful testimony about how the Holy Spirit poured out the love of God in his heart. You know, going through a challenging time, we just need to be reminded. I remember one Sunday years ago, I just said, has anyone not experienced the love of God? And I was surprised the number of people in the church that had never experienced the love of God. If you've never experienced that, please come and just be open to the Holy Spirit, who pours out the love of God in our hearts. And then the Holy Spirit is a source of power for us to minister his gifts. I know my story is not quite as entertaining as Pastor Jim's is, or is unique, but this man prayed for me, and my hands went up in the air. My hands never went up in the air before. I could have stopped them. But after that day, I just started to see things happen in my life, like people being healed by giving me special words of knowledge that didn't happen before I received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So it's a source of power for us to minister his gifts. And then the Holy Spirit, to pray for the release of the Holy Spirit for power to be witnesses. Again, this is in alignment with what God's calling us to do, to make sharing our faith with others very, very important. Important to us, and to go out and share our faith. Go, we're doing this, go, or pray and go, where we're trying to be witnesses to our neighbors. Okay, how do you receive the Holy Spirit? For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds, to him who knocks the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? For he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, let's say this last line together. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So what's our job? What's his job? You think if we ask, he'll give? You think if we come up and say, Spirit, fill me, I want more of the Holy Spirit? Do you think he'll keep that promise? Do we all need that? You know, one thing that really opened me up to the Holy Spirit is, you know, you always struggle with pride. And I got to the place where I was just struggling so much with not seeing what I wanted to see. And then God just convicted me. Was I willing to take everything that God had for me? Was I willing to say, God, I want everything you have for me? And that's when I was filled with the Spirit and things began to change in my life, new power, new ministry, new supernatural things happening. So let's all stand now. We're going to sing some songs inviting the Holy Spirit to come. If our prayer teams could come up, and Vivian, you come up as well. Everybody on our prayer teams, just come forward. Come on up here. We're going to pray, come Holy Spirit, and I'm sorry, Terry, can you put the slideshow back on for a second? I want to show them one more slide. Can I? The one about how the church is called, said, come Holy Spirit. Okay. How long has the church been praying for the Holy Spirit to come? Since the beginning, right? It's a prayer. Come, Holy Spirit. And look, the year 200, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit. In 1800s, a monk wrote a song equipping the church to sing the prayer. What? Come, Holy Spirit. 1200s, the prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, written as a Latin worship poem. And then, some folks familiar with John Wimber, on Mother's Day in 1980 in a congregation in California, John Wimber pastored the prayer, Come, Holy Spirit, took its place in the life of a movement that has impacted the world with its radical, risk-taking commitment to Spirit ministry in the church. So can we just say, come Holy Spirit?
Come Holy Spirit.
Come Holy Spirit.